Welcome to the Forbes India Cover Story podcast series in association with theindicast.com. My name is Abhishek. The Forbes India Rich List special is a flagship issue, and it has some fascinating stories of those who've built large enterprises over many years and some over many decades. Joining me on the call to talk about those on the cover is Forbes India's Manu Balachandran. Hi Manu, nice to have you back again in quick time.
Hi Abhishek, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. And you've put, among others, Shamshir Vayalil on the cover. Tell us more about the man and what he's built.
For people who are in the south and I think of India, mostly in Kerala, Shamshir Vayalil is not an unfamiliar name. He is quite well known in this part of the country. He is often associated with his father-in-law, who is Mr. M.A. Yusuf Ali. Yusuf Ali runs the Lulu Group. They're one of the biggest, if you've been to the Middle East, they're one of the biggest retailers there, and they've been on a spree building malls, in Kerala, UP, and so on. But beyond all of that, Dr. Vayalil is a trained radiologist, and over the years he's sort of come to his own, and through a company called VPS Healthcare. VPS owns multiple sort of businesses in the healthcare sector, particularly Burjeel Holdings. And that's one of the biggest hospital network in the UAE. So that is Shamshir Vayalil, a doctor by training, and operates one of the largest healthcare networks in the Middle East through Burjeel Holding, through something called Life Pharma. There's a cosmetic company called Ziva, a dental college called EduCare Institute. So these are some of the businesses that come under VPS Healthcare and eventually Burjeel. And also, I think he has his own sort of private equity firm called Amanat Holdings. They invest in health education.
And when you spoke with him at his Dubai office, you interviewed him there. And how does he react to, folks telling him that it may have been, quote unquote, easy for him given his lineage?
The idea that I had of Mr. Vayalil when I went to meet him in Dubai was that, if you see his television interviews and if you see his publicly, his public appearances, it's sort of carefully manicured, it seems as a sort of a very downward, very straightforward person. But when I sat with him and we spent, I think Forbes India got to spend about 4 or 5 hours with him, a very jovial, fun-loving, loud, carefree sort of a person. So that is the case. Now, coming to the specific question about, what a lot of people might refer to as nepotism or, easy because, you might have a father or father-in-law. He doesn't take very lightly to that. In fact, he stresses on the point that, a lot of it is his own effort. I mean, he doesn't go out clarifying this, or he doesn't, go out to change people's mindset about that, people who say that this is easy for him. What he says is, every time somebody says something like this, just don't pay attention to that and continue to do what you're doing. And in his case, he's got the results to show. Of course, initially on, he was helped by his father-in-law. He had, of course, put in his own money and some funding from the banks. But the later successes is definitely all his. I don't think there's much to do any other way.
And his strategy, would it be right to say that he likes to reinvest more?
Yeah. And that was something he kept stressing on. What you see today of, of his wealth and all of that, it took so many years of, plowing back the profit that was being generated. The company went public in 2022, and it was a sort of a blockbuster debut on the bourses because I think the shares were oversubscribed some 29 times. IHC, which is part of the UAE government, they invested some 15% in the company. So there's a lot of interest in the company, and it took so many years to really build that up and to scale it up. And now he's reaping in the benefits of that.
Right. And moving on, you've also written about another billionaire family, yeah. The Hinduja family. And one thing that I found interesting was when you spoke with Gopichand Hinduja, he said he doesn't really care about being on the list, and that it's better if we are not seen up there because we would like to walk around without too much attention. Was that experience?
On the contrary, yeah. So I'll give you a little background. I was in London to meet the Hinduja family because they had recently, refurbished, renovated what is called the old war office of the British government. It used to be the office of Winston Churchill, I think, the time of the war. So that has been converted into a plush sort of swanky 5-star hotel. It's run by the Raffles. So there's the hotel side of it. And there's also a private residences that they are putting out. And this is basically right next to 10 Downing Street. So it's in the heart of London. So that is the reason I had gone to London to meet and you know, meet the Hinduja family. We met them at their residence. And when I asked Mr. Gopichand Hinduja about this, he said, look, you guys are not getting it correct. There are a lot of private companies that we have that you've not figured in the list. So it's, you know, you've taken all the public wealth, but what about the private wealth? So I was sort of taken aback. But then, of course, I mean, then he sort of pointed out about, you know, how these things really don't matter. I mean, they've been in the middle of, they've been with all this wealth for so many decades.
Of course, it's a huge empire, and there is a thrust on different industries, including BFSI. I think they've acquired Reliance Capital not too long ago from which was formerly run by Anil Ambani. How has that come along?
I think a lot of their focus is on the BFSI industry, from what I understand, because IndusInd is a bank that they own. They're looking to raise their stake from about 15% to 26% now. That is on the bank side of it, but they really want to ramp up on BFSI sector. And IndusInd, you know, the company, it's basically owned by a Mauritius entity that they own. And that entity is the one that's really, that's bought into Reliance Capital. What they're looking to see is unlock value for that company. And through this acquisition, they see potential in mutual funds and a whole sort of spectrum of financial services. Of course, they have their own traditional businesses like, you know, Ashok Leyland, and they've now forayed into renewable businesses and things like the Gulf Oil is another company that they own. But BFSI is where they see a lot of potential in the coming years. I mean, look at India, a lot of, you know, with 800 million smartphones, a lot of people waiting to get into the financial sector. Jio Financial has sort of ramped up. So this is a sector that they see huge potential in, and they want to, they've spent about 9,600 crores acquiring Reliance Capital. I think it went through multiple rounds of bidding, and this came in much later. What they really see is about 35 to 40 billion value to be unlocked in the BFS sector in the coming years. So this is just the start of that.
Right. And how does a family divide responsibilities? Who sees what? There is also a succession plan that might be in place or may not be. What have you learned about that? Is there a younger generation that has taken over the reins, and how does it work there in that family?
See, multiple conversations, they all say that, you know, look, we guide the young people. They want whatever they want to sort of focus on. We let them sort of do that. We only hold them and we try to help them get into that. But each of them, for instance, Ashok Hinduja's son, Shom Hinduja, he was very passionate about renewable energy. So after his studies, he came back and he started renewable energies, business of the Hinduja. And that's, from what I understand, is doing reasonably well. There is Gopichand Hinduja's son who's with Ashok Leyland. Both of his sons, one with Ashok Leyland and one with Dheeraj Hinduja. He's with Ashok Leyland, and the other son, Sanjay Hinduja, he's with Gulf Oil. So as of now, they have it clearly demarcated. The family went through some sort of a succession trouble sometime in the past, primarily because the family operates just like any other joint family, you know, has operated for so many years in the country. You know, that they operate with the fundamental that, you know, everything belongs to everybody and nothing belongs to nobody. So it's not just one person. And that was challenged by the eldest brother's daughters, SP Hinduja, who passed away earlier this year. His daughters had gone to court saying that this agreement is not valid. And, you know, the family sort of had to fight it out in the open and had gone to court in UK. But I think as of now, they have some sort of settlement in place with three brothers on one side, three brothers and their children on one side. And then there is the eldest brother's family on the other side, because I didn't see them when I was in London. The rest of the family was all there.
And had you been walking early in the morning with them on morning walks, is what I read, that they strike big deals there.
Yeah.
Is that how it is, or were they making light of it?
No. That's actually quite serious, because I believe even the OWO acquisition, it's basically when they go for a morning walk, they all do 1 hour of brisk walking. It was during that time that they had been informed about OWO, and they said, we'll throw an out also. I mean, they basically bid for it, I think, at the last minute. They had to fight it out with big people from Qatar and, you know, Abu Dhabi and all of that. But eventually they won. And it's a sort of a flagship, and they're very proud of that project that they have undertaken. It took them almost a decade and £1 billion in investment after the acquisition. The acquisition was about 350 odd million pounds. The morning walks are very, very critical for the Hinduja family.
on that note, in the interest of time, Manu, thanks a lot for your time and urging everyone to pick this one up. These are just two of the stories that have been profiled among many others in the Rich List package. Thanks a lot, Manu.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Abhishek. Thank you.
Thank you. All you listeners, you can get this podcast on ForbesIndia.com or any other app that you use to download your podcasts. And to have someone call you for a Forbes India subscription, message Forbes to 51818.